Hey there, my name is Priscilla. I'm so glad that you were here and that you were joining me for the chat. This is a great opportunity for you and I, as always, to talk about things that matter to you or that should matter to you. And listen, you have tuned in at the right time, the right show, because we are talking to a panel of articulate, handsome, well-spoken men who are going to be telling us the things we want to know about them, the things they think we need to know about them. And so we've solicited these guys to answer your question. Stay tuned. You are not going to want to miss this. So glad that you are here. I have been looking forward to this particular show for a very, very long time because I've not had the opportunity before to have a whole panel of men right here on the sofa to have a conversation with us. And so this is unique for me, but this is going to be good because listen, girlfriend, you and I get to have the tough questions answered. You know, have you ever just wanted to grab your man and say, look, what in the world are you thinking? Why do you do this or say this? You just want to know some things and you haven't had an opportunity to ask. Well, I'm going to ask for you, and we're going to give you all the answers so that you can understand your man just a little bit better. To help us do that is an incredible group of men. Would you please welcome, first of all, gospel recording artist Anthony Evans, Jr. Then we have contemporary Christian recording artist Michael Boggs. Then I got to have my own husband, Jerry Shire, is coming out. And then writer, blogger, speaker, singer, Carlos Whitaker, and incredible comedian Michael Jr. Would you please help me to welcome these great guys? Well, y'all, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
I feel a little bit outnumbered, but I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, that's why you got your husband.
That's why I got my husband, yes. I did invite my husband, and I want to tell you, it makes me a little nervous, Jerry, that you're a part of the show, because I don't know what you're going to say.
Be nervous.
Be nervous? I should be nervous. I should also mention that Anthony Evans is my brother, so I drug him onto this program as well. But
really?
I think we're going to have a whole
brother?
Lot of fun.
Because y'all don't look nothing alike.
We don't look anything alike?
No.
Well, he is my brother, yes. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Okay, we need to know your marital status, and if you are married, how long you've been married?
You start.
How in love are you with your wife?
I adore my wife.
Okay. How long you been married, babe?
Going on 15 years.
Going on 15 years. How about you?
13 years.
13 years?
Yeah,
okay.
13 years. Yeah. 9 years.
9 years?
Nine in a row. So
in a row.
Yeah. 8 years.
8 years. Okay. And our sweet Anthony.
I'm the single guy.
You are the single guy. A very handsome single man.
Absolutely.
I might add. So you're going to give us a lot of perspective because there are single women who do want to know some things about the single guys around them. So we're going to ask you lots of questions as well. Okay. The first thing I want to ask you guys, I want to get your perspective on what you think some of the assumptions are that women make about men that you think are completely inaccurate and they just need to get over it and move on. What are some of the assumptions you hear from women or that you suspect that women make? Or maybe your wife made about you before you got married and you proved it wrong.
I think right away. One of the first things that at least I fall out of the stereotypical what women think male. There was a book called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. But I am the most spaghetti male on the planet.
What do you mean by that?
Well, but what I mean by that is that I think men get put into this category where we are just boxes. We can only think about one thing, sports, sex, whatever that might be. Okay. But I can think about I can think about sports and sex at the same time.
You
so,
can.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it's spaghetti, you know? So I think that, you know, but we're not so one dimension, you know?
Okay.
We can think about more things than one.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like for instance, sports
yeah.
and sex.
Yeah.
So we can think about other stuff.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Any other assumptions that you think women make about you that's just not, it's not accurate?
They think we don't talk.
Well, you kind of don't talk. This is a great place for us to start off this conversation, actually.
Well, you should give us a chance to talk. I was about to say something. we really, men really don't love to, we don't love expressing ourselves. And I think one of the reasons, and I'm not going to get deep, I'm just going to keep with the funny. But as a child, we're always told not to cry, you know, your dad's, don't be crying, don't do this, don't do that, don't act like a little girl. And then when we become men and we get married, then the wives are like, why don't you talk to me? Mm-hmm. Because I've been quiet all this time. Now you want to talk. Yeah. So I think, told you, that last part wasn't going to be funny. It was a little deep. So maybe it was just me.
No, I think that's an important question because, honestly, communication is one of the main questions that I got from women who I was just on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere. I said, what do you want to ask about? And mostly what they want to know is how do they get you to feel comfortable opening up? Because, you know, for us, intimacy involves conversation. It involves you listening to us, but us also knowing what's going on in your heart and in your life. What can your significant other, whether it's your girlfriend or whether it is your wife, what can she do to cause you to desire to talk to her?
I think sometimes having a conversation while you're actually doing something and the pressure is not just like, let's sit down and talk.
Ooh, yeah.
You're like,
yes.
I think. That's all I have to say. Yeah. Thank you.
Some like sports or sex or something.
That's a good idea.
No, but I think, guys, it's harder for us to, like, sit down and do one-on-one conversations. But if you're out playing golf or playing basketball or something, it's easier to have a conversation. So sometimes I think even with my wife and I, it's easy for us to go do something, and the conversation's a little bit easier because there's not quite as much pressure.
Do you think maybe she needs to do something that you enjoy doing? Not, she's not taking you out shopping if that's not your thing, you know, something that she wants to do. But she's coming into your world and participating in your world with you.
Absolutely. What she can't do is she can't use the phrase, can we talk?
That doesn't work.
No, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that we don't want to. Don't nobody want to hear that.
Yeah.
No, just start talking casually or something. Don't just say, hey, we need to talk. Oh, snap, what did I do?
What did I do? I just start thinking,
what just happened?
I'm in trouble.
Babe, you have anything to add to that?
I think that's great. Yeah, because, you know, that statement to a man, I think, is just, I think, to shut down.
Because
we're like, okay, all right, let me prepare myself. What is it now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that. That's,
get involved in your world and just kind of naturally have that conversation. Yeah. All right, I want to talk to single women first. We're going to start out with single women, and there's some things that they want to know about you. But first, I want to ask you, particularly you, Anthony, but all of you, because you're going to have a response to this. I want to know what is most distasteful to you about a single woman. What might she be doing, thinking she's attracting you or bringing good attention to herself, that to you is just, there's nothing attractive about it and it actually causes you to run in the opposite direction?
Being overtly forward drives me nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Can you give me, like, just an example?
Well, because, what I do on the road and worship leading and stuff like that, there's a dynamic where after you get off of a stage, there are females who are very overtly forward, and it's not endearing at all. And then in real life, and just in regular life, it kind of switches the role to me. Like, as we were built for that, like, to pursue. And if it flips, I'm just like, oh, I'm good.
You're automatic. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Cool. Because that always happens with singers, comedians. They're like, oh, nothing happened. I'm whack, dude. They're singing and carrying on.
Okay, yeah. But listen, there's this fine line though. Because women are told to not put yourself out there too far, but that you have to, that a guy has to know you're available. How does a woman, single women are really struggling with this. How does a guy know she's available without being distasteful and too pushy and too overt?
I think it just takes a look, right? If you cast that one look, okay, from somebody, you know they're interested. You know, and I think that even goes for married people and single people. So, you know, as a married man, when I'm on the road, you know, I even sometimes have to look for that look. If I see that look, it's like, dun, dun, dun,
stay away from that one, because you're married. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be overtly, you know, this really loud thing. It can really be subtle, I think.
And I think it's really unattractive when a woman is doing too much to be attractive. It's almost like if she's doing too much or she's showing too much, first of all, I'm a very creative person. I like to imagine some stuff, and you showing me everything.
Yeah.
So that is so ridiculous. It's almost like a lion. Men are like lions, and then if there's a goat tied up, the lion is like, is there a goat running around somewhere?
Yeah, I'd rather have
it
chase. I was built to chase. I was built to pursue. That's what you're
exactly.
saying. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, whatever.
I think that people, I'll say women, are starting to feel like you guys say that you're built to pursue, but they're questioning whether or not you actually are interested in pursuing. I think a lot of women think that guys aren't interested in pursuing anymore, that they want someone to come knock on their door, because all the women are like, okay, the Bible says he who finds a good wife, but it doesn't seem like anybody's interested or looking. Where are all the men?
Yeah, I'm married. Hey, honey.
I'll point that out.
Listen, I think this is actually an epidemic that's going on in evangelical America. I think you're right, and I think the women are right. There's a bunch of lazy 30-year-old childish men out there that need to step up and need to pursue, as opposed to think that everything's going to come to them. Mm. There's a generation, I think, that's grown up that is expecting to receive.
Entitlement.
Yeah. Just completely entitled to everything. And I think you're starting to see relationships begin to fail because both men and women that grew up in this entitled generation are just kind of expecting it to happen, mm-hmm. you know, because everything else was given to them. And so they don't realize they got to actually put some work into it.
Is it like a circle, though? Because if a man doesn't have to hunt, if it's already there, then he becomes lazy. And then women say, yo, they're not pursuing me, so I need to do more. And now he don't got to do more because they're pursuing him. I'm just saying it could be a little circle cracking right now. Mm-hmm. Where you know,
on the other side of that coin, too, like when I hang out with college students and young adults or single guys, they tell me the exact same thing. They're like, where are all the good girls?
Isn't
like,
that crazy? So the women are wondering where the guys are and the guys wondering where the women are.
Yeah, and it's, you know, some of the things they might say are, well, they're trying too hard, or you know, maybe they just aren't catching their eye for some reason.
I think a huge key is this. When a woman knows who she is in God, it's almost like we kind of know that. Mm. It's almost like, yo, that's almost meaning I'm really getting it done. If she can recognize me and she has a strong relationship with God, there's something extra. Like when I found my wife, she was not looking. I was like, yo, like really? And then she was confident in who she is, and I was so ridiculously attracted to that, like amazingly. So like I've never been attracted to another woman. And it was because she knew who she was in her own shoes, regardless of if I was around or not. Mm-hmm. So I had to pursue her, and then, you know, it worked out. She's beautiful.
What will happen when we have churches that really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? What will happen when we have teenagers and children who really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? We think marriages are going to be healthy. We think churches are going to be transformed, that communities are going to be impacted as Christians start to obey the text in their context, in their setting.
You think about the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of God. In fact, John says that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we are to know God, then we must know him through the Bible. Explore the Bible will help us to do that.
So the heart behind Explore the Bible really is Colossians 3:15-16. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Verse 16 is let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. So we want to say, hey, churches, church leaders, pastors, do you want a congregation? Do you want a small group? Do you want a Sunday school class filled with people that speak to one another in wisdom, that encourage each other, that admonish one another, that are filled with gratitude in their hearts to God, that they sing and they celebrate the salvation that God's given them? Do you want a group of people like that? Then you have to let the word of Christ dwell among them richly.
The exploration of the Bible, book by book, for groups of all ages, from senior adults, to young adults, to students, to kids of all ages. If everyone is studying the same book, imagine the possibility of revival based upon the study together in community as a group, studying the text in its context. Imagine the possibility of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Whenever we're squeezed, whenever people in our groups or in our churches are squeezed, whatever's in them is going to come out. If the word of Christ is deeply in them, then that's what's going to come. They're going to speak to one another with wisdom. They're going to sing songs to God. They're going to be filled with gratitude. What's in you is going to come out of you. And so we want to do everything we can to help churches and help small groups and Sunday school classes get the word of Christ deeply, richly in the people.
There are busy women like you and I who normally have our schedules so packed and so filled every moment of the day that we are running on fumes, completely exhausted, because everybody's just too flat out busy. We forget that every single day you need to be in the Word of God, that you need to position yourself to hear from God. To come expectantly to the Word of God. Come with your eyes and ears open, expecting to hear the voice of God. And wherever you are, He is in the room with you as well. Single guy, what would be the top three things that would cause you to want to be in a committed married relationship with a woman? What would a woman have to embody for you to be like, I am ready to put a ring on it?
Dang. That's a great, I know. She's asking this 30-something non-committal guy. That's what she's asking that question.
But there's a reason. Look. There's a reason you haven't committed. I'm wondering what would it have to be that a woman would have to bring to the table for you to be like, mm-hmm.
I love a confidence in who she is and not necessarily it being a, I need him to complete this thing. You know what I mean? I love the whole dynamic of wanting and not needing. That vibe takes the pressure off of me to come in and complete somebody's, you know, that's just a weird thing. In the top three things.
Or just one or two, whatever comes to your mind.
Her knowing who she is in Christ, I need that because I'm an emotional dude. Like I'm an artist, and I'm just okay with the fact now that I'm just emotional, weird. but I need a consistent like this is who I am in the Lord, and I want to lead in that area, you know. But I need you to be able to stand on your own two feet spiritually, and if I'm having an off day, be like, yo, this is not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's huge to me. And then this is the old fashioned side of me. I love. For me, a woman who can have a career and do that thing, but her heartbeat is home. Mm. That's for me. I've hung out with a girl in Los Angeles who is the casting director for NBC for The Voice and all these shows, and she loves that, and she's a boss. But her heartbeat is to be at home, and I love that dichotomy of I can go run an office full of people, and then I can come home, and I'll drop that if it means my family. That's perfect. The way I've watched you do with your career in The Boys. It's this is all fun and everything, but okay. You know what I mean? If I have to choose, I'm obviously going to be at the house.
Nice. Single women need to hear that.
Nice.
I
heard barefoot and pregnant. That's what I need.
No.
I mean, buried underneath that somewhere.
Now, I've heard several of you say things related to the spiritual grounding of a woman, that's important. Okay. Absolutely. Let's cut to the chase.
Come on.
I need to know, does it matter more to you that a woman is physically attractive or that she just loves the Lord with all her heart and all her strength?
What am I going to see first?
What are you going to see first? You're going to see her physically, right?
That's right.
So would you say that is the most important thing?
That's the initial thing that I see. But then when I, like, my step in water, is it shallow, is it deep? Mm-hmm. You know, so it is, but that's going to attract me to you first. That's what's going to make me approach you.
So taking care of yourself physically is important.
That's huge. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come on. If you're spiritual, I ain't going to know it because you're not looking good. I'm just saying. I have no idea. You can be spiritual from a distance. But we just won't know.
Okay. So, Michael, what first attracted you to your wife?
You know, this is a true story. I was actually leading worship in a church, and she walked in
the
back door.
Singing again.
While I was leading, and I thought, man, I would like to meet her. And I was
creep. Focus on Jesus. Shout to the Lord. Oh, my God.
It's true. It's
so true. She just kind of caught your eye. Yeah.
She did. She really caught my eye. And it wasn't until, you know, a few hours later, her aunt actually introduced her to me. And I got to talk with her a little bit, hear a little bit about who she was, that I was kind of like, you're interesting to me, you know? And then she wouldn't give me her phone number, which made me even more
interested.
Can we talk about that? Can we talk about that? That whole chase thing, it's almost like playing games a little bit. Can you tell me when playing games is too much and how much of a game is okay so that you can feel a little bit of that tension of her not being super eager to give you the number and to go out on the first date and to just, what's that tension there that's important to keep?
I think the money in that. I think what it is, if she's really listening to God, God is going to clearly instruct her so that she can be as elusive as she needs to be to continue to attract us. Like for real. I really believe that.
When it flips from listening to God in my mind to I'm going to manipulate the scenario and get him chasing me, I can feel that change. Absolutely. I can feel that whole like, I'm going to wait, you know, I can feel that the whole like, watch, I'm going to play with it. When that thing starts, I'm like.
And I think games are fun. You know, I mean, let's just be honest. Like, as human beings, you know, as you're dating and then you're married, you know, as well. And so, you know, you want to be able to chase a little bit there, you know, and, you know, one of the tricks that, this is quite embarrassing, but, I'm going there. Listen, I was 16 years old. And my dad is a Southern Baptist preacher. And my mom is the preacher's wife. And I just kind of saw them as this. And I remember going downstairs once and I came home from school early. I was sick. And I picked up the remote. And on the backside of the remote, there was a note from my mom to my dad that says, "Why don't you come please turn me on instead?" That's what it said.
I love your mom.
Remote. Yes. On the remote. Okay. Yeah, you are.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Right now. But they've been married for 30 years.
Yeah, that's great.
30 years.
30
and,
years.
And I think to myself, they're still playing games. You know, they're still playing games. Can you imagine? I mean, I was like, oh, my God. You know what the deal? I was like, no.
But you know what? That brings up such an important point because you talked about how a single woman needs to keep that mystery there. Keep that mystery there. But a married woman, my mother used to always say that there's an importance about keeping that little intrigue and mystery there, even when you're married. And I could never get, still to this day, I'm not sure exactly what that means, because when you're married, you're so fully open and vulnerable with each other. So how does a wife keep that mystery and intrigue and cause you to continue to desire to be in passionate relationship with her? How does a wife do that?
Besides leaving notes. I'll let you know right now.
What does she do that makes you just kind of go, ooh, that's my girl?
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's happening. Like, I can't even put my finger on it, but it happens all the time. I'd be like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
That's like good stuff.
We need you to tell us. Somebody tell us.
I'll tell you exactly what it is with my wife.
Okay. And then, Michael, I know you got something to say.
When my wife is doing what the Lord has created her to do.
Oh, you're going okay? spiritual.
No, listen. It's so true. When I see my wife is a phenomenal cook. And an event planner and a chef. She does. When she gets in that zone, and I watch her do her thing, and she gets right there. It is the most attractive thing I've ever. I mean, I'm just like, hurry up and get out the kitchen, you know, because I want you, you know. And so I'm right, you know. And so I just love it when she's in the middle of what she's been created to do. There's something beautiful about that. Wow. I met my wife on a ski resort. She's a snowboard instructor, and. Before I saw her, she had her big goggles on, right? She had her big hat on, and I just saw her snowboarding down the mountain. And I remember knowing this was a girl and thinking, this is a very attractive female. But I hadn't even seen what she looked like yet. But that's because she was doing what she was created to do. And I feel like in those moments when, as females, with your man, whether you're married or whether you're not married, when you're doing what you're created to do, what the Lord has created you to do, there's nothing more attractive than that.
That's good. Michael?
I wasn't going to say anything as spiritual as that, but...
Yeah, that's fine. We need the practical to go.
Well, I think sometimes when you get married, you stop dating. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, for Keely and I, that's been good for us is to continue doing things that we did when we were dating. You know, like hanging out and her, just conversation with her, just being interesting and her asking me questions and me asking her questions. I think that's part of the whole dating thing that sometimes when you get married... those sort of things stop happening because you get busy or you have kids and life just takes over.
Okay, well, think about the woman that's sitting on the other side of the screen and she's thinking, yeah, I would love to go out on a date with my husband. I'd love to be in conversation with him, but my husband's not responding to that. He's kind of just, we're just going through the business of life and we're not, you know, how does she get her husband to want to be with her? Because sometimes we can desire that and actually the saying it is not the best way to get him to respond to it and want to go out on a date. So what can a woman do to gently prod her husband into wanting to be with her?
She should get the remote control.
put a note on the back of it. Anybody got any hints, helpful hints for somebody?
Now, I just say this. As far as America, I would think, you know, let's say, for example, if I'm sitting on the sofa watching football or something. Yeah. Not that you have to watch the whole game. You just sit down with him, you know, just spend a little time with him, you know, just get involved in what he's doing and not just saying take up the whole time, but he just sees that you're there and he's going to just start to, you know, eventually he's going to be like, okay, let me go check on her. She just went to the room. So, you know, just little things like that, I think.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's actually something that just with Keely and I that just happened is we were sitting down watching football and my wife doesn't like football, doesn't know anything about it, doesn't care to watch it. We sat down on the couch, and somebody made a first down, and the announcer hadn't said that yet. She goes, did they just make a first down? It's like, man, they're on the 36-yard line. And I was like, who are you? Yeah. Yeah. How did you know this? And little did I know that she had been paying attention and wanted to create that conversation, and so she did. And literally, she's like stealth mode. I didn't know it, but 2 hours later, I'm shopping with her in downtown Franklin. And it's like, I don't know how she did it, but she hooked me in.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But it did. It created a moment, all because she said, did they just make a first down?
Yeah.
Okay, someone once told me this, and this is reminding me of it, Michael, but someone once said to me that your husband, your man, boyfriend, whatever, you should be taking a course on him. Figure out what intrigues him. Figure out how he likes his coffee. Just try to figure out what's important to him and then get in, kind of lure him into a friendship with you. That's not a good word, but you know how I mean it.
Absolutely.
Lure him into relationship with you in the sense that you know something that's important to him and you connect on that level. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, because we want a friend. We certainly want a friend for sure, somebody we can laugh with and talk about regular stuff with, and not just, I mean, sports and sex is awesome. But we also just want to be able to talk about football. I mean, just talk about the stuff we talk about. Like, I love fishing. Like, we're supposed to go fishing, too. You don't want to go fishing. That's so weird. Anyway, I love to fish. And the fact, my wife will go fishing with me, and she can't stand it. Because we'll be there all day and won't catch nothing. Because the lakes in California are whack. The fish come in at 4 o'clock. They take them off a truck and dump them in the water. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. So my wife, she'll do that with me. She'll sit back, and we'll go fishing. And that stuff is just awesome. And I know she's not loving it, but she's... doing a sacrifice just for me. So.
Okay, well,
I tell you all the time how I study you.
Yes, you do. And I'm grateful.
So, yeah, but I'm just saying, it's the same thing. It's like, I know what you like, I know what you don't like, and just certain things like that. So that is, I think it goes both ways. And I think one of the things is in a relationship or in a marriage is always, my entire goal every day is to outserve you. So... I think if that's both of the male and the female, if that's what they're trying to do, I think that continues to keep that relationship, you know.
Yeah.
So kind of what I hear you saying.
He treats my sister so good.
He does.
He does.
Yeah.
Especially on television.
But listen, what I hear you saying, because this is a great principle for women, what they need to know about their men is not only that their men want to serve and want to do well for their family, but also there's a tender spot in your man that wants to know he's got someone that's paying attention to what concerns him.
Absolutely.
And that is interested in serving him as well. Okay.
Yeah.
This has been the quickest half hour of this program I have ever had. This has gone so, so, so quick. Listen, this is just the first half. We've got a second half that we're going to bring to you as well. And we still have to talk about these fragile egos and what we do to deflate them, what we do to hurt them, how we can encourage them, how we can get around them. We got to talk to them about nagging. They think we nag about everything. We're just trying to ask them a question. And we also have to talk about, you know, the S word, sex, because it's just obviously at the top of their priority list. And so I want you to thank me for having them on, or thank them, rather. I'm sorry, thank them. Thank me. Thank them. Hey there, my name is Priscilla, and you are joining me for The Chat. This is our virtual living room. We have an opportunity to sit down and talk about some stuff that hopefully will impact your life in some way. So I hope you've got a warm drink and your shoes are kicked off and you're either tucked in your bed or on your own sofa so that you can relax and enjoy a conversation that's already been going on. So listen, this is part two of our conversation. You need to make sure you go back and see part one because this has been so good. I have a panel full of incredible guys right here who are helping to answer important questions that women are trying to figure out. Will you please help me welcome Jerry Shire and Carlos Whitaker and Michael Jr. and Anthony Evans Jr. and Michael Boggs. Incredible guys. Okay, just because I have to ask, how was your experience on L.A. Inc.? We all remember you from L.A. Inc. What was that like?
You know, it was it's a reality show, which means it's an unreality show.
Yeah.
So, you know, people think that you just walk in off the street and you get a tattoo. But no, there's a casting call, the whole thing. It took 13 hours to do. But what I loved about the show was that my tattoo, which you can't see the whole thing, but it's Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. And so they let me tell the story of Saul being converted into Paul and how he used to kill Christians. And they let me share the gospel on the Learning Channel, which was really amazing. And so that episode, it keeps re-airing for the last couple years. And I can tell whenever it re-airs, people start finding me on Twitter or whatever. But it was amazing. It was great. And I became really good friends with Hannah Atchison, the lady that did my tattoo.
Well, so that's cool. Great. Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask all of you a question, but based on this tattoo that's on your arm.
Yes.
Because there are a whole lot of women that kind of like this whole bad boy image thing. I mean, they want a guy who, you know, has solid morals and all that stuff. But they like this little edge on a guy, this kind of this bad boy thing. And it gets a lot of women in trouble because they like the bad boy to the extent that they're actually making bad choices in their
really
dating.
Bad.
He's really bad.
He slapped me. Yeah. I didn't even know he slapped me. That's ridiculous.
Okay, so what do women need to look for if they want a good guy who maybe has a little bit of a bad boy edge on him, but he's not across the line? What are they looking for?
I think they need to create like a Yelp for men. They should probably talk to the ex and be like, how'd that work out? Mm. Like, for real, why not? Ladies, you guys, I mean, if you're going to buy a car, you want to know how many miles, talk to the, I would at least go to Facebook. It's wide open.
Yeah, yeah.
What is she saying? And, you know, you got to be, some of the stuff is going to be way just bitter, but you can feel through that. If there's some pictures up there, she got this little line under her eye right there, maybe you should dip. Just dip. That's too bad. That's just too bad, boy.
Okay, I want to ask you about ego. Mm. This is an important issue for men, and we cannot quite figure.
I don't got no ego. I'm just saying, I don't got no ego.
I don't believe you.
I don't. Ego?
Would any of you say that you don't have a fairly strong ego that needs to be coddled and protected and cared for? Would any of you say you don't have one?
Oh,
you
no,
don't.
No, I got one.
You got one. Yeah. Okay. We can't figure this ego thing out. Could y'all please help us to understand how critical the care of your ego is, how we step around it, what we can do to encourage it? We just are confused.
It's subjective.
It's subjective. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's subjective depending on who you're dealing with. But for me, I don't have to be coddled. I just can never be purposefully emasculated. If you do that, we are going to have a problem. We'll have a problem. Like, and I don't mean like that sounds threatening. I just mean our relationship is going to have major issues if you emasculate. And I have to work on the whole dynamic of being told the truth. You know what I mean? And that's the truth. But it can be done in a way. Sometimes in relationships, I was in a relationship for a while and actually engaged, and that got fishy because the delivery was very like, I'm going
to
belittle.
So a way a woman talks to you can damage your ego. Mm.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the thing is this, I mean, I think, and the bottom line is this, the Bible is very clear. Women, honor your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Mm-hmm. The reason he says honor is because of our ego.
Yeah.
I mean, he created it. He, you know, so it is there.
So respect. Mm-hmm. Respect is what helps to keep
absolutely.
Your... Yep.
Yeah.
I think my ego, it all goes back to the question we talked about in part one, where we're talking about being known. I really want to be known. And I think my ego is more about Carlos wanting to be known as who I think I am and who Christ has created me to be, or what I'm great at. When my wife... I walk in the door and I'm like, very first thing I do Sunday, I get done leading worship. I walk off stage. I go straight to her and I'm like, you know, so
how was that?
I don't say it, but I'm waiting, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to tell me that was the, you led me to Jesus and back, right? And like, it's my ego, which is just wanting really just my wife. That's who I'm wanting to hear from. And so so I believe something is in that, and I think that's okay. I think as a human being, that's okay. We just want to be known. And
you want to be, do you want to be our hero? Can I say that? Does it do something for you when you know you are her hero?
Yeah, who else is the hero?
Okay,
yeah,
but.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we
should. But what's the fine line between letting your man know you need him and not being needy? What's the fine line between making that man know, man, I need you, you're my hero, rescue me, kind of that feeling, but also being assertive and independent and being able to be what Anthony described earlier, what attracts him, he says, is a woman who's just doing her thing and she's got it together.
It's the
How
need
do we do both of those?
In my mind, in the relationship, it's the need, not necessarily being need, it's a want. It's the needy thing comes from, I need you, I need you, I need you, as opposed to, I've got my stuff together, but I want you. That creates like, that what Carlos was talking about earlier, of seeing you do you, and it, but you want me, and that's an ego, that's an ego thing of, I want you. You know, what I mean? Yeah. Like that to me, as opposed to need.
Even if she can get it done, I think the key is, even if she can get the thing done, but she still comes to you and says, how do you think I should do this? That is phenomenal. So yeah, you can get it done, and if you just go get it done on your own, then good, you got it done. But if you come to me first, and we agree on it, and you check off
so
with me,
so just including you, even if it's something I'm skilled in.
And if I say, we're not gonna do that, we're not gonna do it, then they just kind of respect that because I'm leading the house. In my case,
yeah,
not his case so much.
not so much my case, yeah. But I can speak. I can tell some of y'all's business. Is that okay?
That's,
is that okay?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Yeah,
family show.
Go ahead. Yeah,
but
shoot.
The way that these two operate, I'm trying to, I need to explain this to y'all. Priscilla is just raised in this family. My family, the girls are very assertive and just that. They watched my dad. They watched my mom is that way. They've watched that. And when she got married to Jerry, he's running stuff. So at first, I can say that I was around for them figuring out that dynamic.
Yeah.
But Priscilla I watched her turn that part of her down to honor him and his ego or whatever you want to call it. But it works. There are moments where she's like, I'll let Jerry decide. And I know my sister. I know that it would be her natural inclination to spit out the answer. And she'll just stop and be like, and that's the dynamic I've watched. I don't understand why you are talking.
He don't got no ego.
But that's the way y'all operate. So I mean, y'all should talk about that.
Okay. I mean, y'all, we should talk about
that. Yeah, like say that. Tell the people.
That's interesting. How do you feel about it, babe?
You know, it is funny. Yes, but you know, my wife does honor me, and
try.
Yes, you do. You do, and. But she's very smart too. My wife's very smart because she knows. Let me just back up. I think this is what I saw with my grandparents. It's like everybody knew. My grandfather thought he ran the house, but everybody knew my grandmother ran it. You know, but yeah. She made him feel like
he ran it,
and that's the
I
thing.
I see. So. You ain't running nothing.
I'm not running nothing. Yeah, I'm not running nothing. I'm not running nothing. But she makes me feel like I'm running nothing.
Bang.
You know?
Ooh, that's some money right there. I love it.
But really, I have seen her, you know, and I know this is a taboo word for women, whatever, but I've seen her submit. But in her submitting makes me want to give her more.
Wow.
And we have to talk about that submission too. The whole idea of submission, the whole idea of leadership in the home. Women are asking that question about leadership because there are a whole lot of women that are having to take the reins in their own home to do devotions as with the family or to take care of the finances because their husband is just not even living recklessly. He's just not managing it or leading the home in terms of direction and vision for the family. What does a woman need to know about what she could be doing to contribute to her husband not taking the reins in the family? Why? What makes it difficult for a guy to lead his home?
Well, let me tell you this. It is. If you look at the story of Genesis, okay, and if you look at where it talks about how, you know, after the fall, and you see, you know, the curse that falls upon the man mm-hmm. and the woman. And, of course, the man is going to be laboring all his days. But one of the things it says for the woman is that she's going to
control him.
Basically, yeah. The thing is,
is that what just happened just now with that sentence? You know, like,
he was helping.
She helped. She could have been like, "I got it." She helped. Lay off my family. I'm gonna hurt you.
She said desire. She said she's gonna desire her husband.
Yeah.
Okay, but desire. You know, as men, we think, yeah, she's gonna want to desire me. She's gonna want me. But that word desire isn't that. It is, I want to control you. I want to be able to control you. The same thing that it said, that same word desire is used with Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. And it is that control thing. And so what I think the thing that we have to, or I know for a woman, what she has to do is submit to that. And I think that's what's so hard a lot of times.
But what does she submit to if her husband, if there's a woman watching, her husband is not leading, like he's not doing it? How does she submit?
Well, I think one of the things is, and I think which is hard, but allowing him to fail. There are sometimes you have to allow him to fail.
Okay, so let him take the reins and fail.
You have to allow him to fail. Yeah, you have to allow
him
to fail.
What if the failure is going to affect her? What if there's going to be a financial failure and it's going to affect the whole family?
I guess my thing is this. See, when I say that, if it's a failure out of, if he's trying to lead and live, and he makes the bad decision, that's one thing, rather than him reckless living, certainly with sin and all that. That's totally different.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, men think, or women think, that men are all cool. Yo, submit to me. Like, that's a great thing. Yeah. But when you submit to me, that means I need to be right.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure. So ideally, I would like for you not to submit all the time. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this and work this thing out. And then when you do submit, and I got to be right. So it's more pressure for a woman to submit because now I got to be on point with this. If it does not work out, it was still my choice. You need to still have my back.
Okay. Yeah, Can one of you define submit, though? Let me just say this real quick.
It also starts at this stage right here, the single stage, okay. What I'm saying. Because when you choose a man that you want to marry, it is what you're saying is, I trust him to lead my life.
So you need to already be thinking about that when you're dating a
absolutely.
Guy. Do I see
him
leading now?
Submission is not going to automatically click on once you say I do.
Yeah.
And leading doesn't mean, I don't think leading means the man is in charge of the finances.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that's what it means because I know in my home, I can't add. My wife is really good at it, right? She remembers to pay bills.
Yeah.
I don't. And there's a gift set that she's got that I don't have. And so, like, I could be all strong and manly and try to be like all my other man friends that are paying the bills, but she's better at it than me. I think the manly thing for me to do is say, you're better at this than me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to allow you to do this, and I'm going to do what I'm good at. You know? And so
submission doesn't mean control.
No. Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't mean control.
So what does that mean to you? Describe what submission looks like to you.
To me, submission looks like you evaluate your relationship, mm-hmm. you know, and it's almost like for, you know, I tell people you can't have two heads of anything. Two heads is a monster. So what you have to do is when you guys sit down, you look at the gifts that you have in your relationship, in your marriage, you know, as a leader. And as that leader, I have to say, okay, yeah, you're great at this. You know, I'm gonna give you this control over this area right here. You know, I'm gonna take this and you work together. But even though you are, you know, there are times where I think the submission role changes because if you're good at something, if say the finances, well, then I'm submitting to you as you lead this aspect of our family, you know, even though I am still, you know, head. But that's it. But I'm willing to submit for that, you know, in this particular area.
Okay. So a woman's
language when thinking about doing something, instead of being I'm going to do this, it should probably be I want to do this until she brings it to him. And then he said, and then he can submit to her and say, that's a great, I love that. And then she says, I'm going to do this now.
Okay.
Because she has his
now, let me ask you this, because it would seem like in the midst of all this, as you mentioned, there's a lot of pressure that is on a male when he knows that he's leading a family. He's got to do this right, and he's going to want to do it well. If you all don't have accountability personally for yourself, I can see how it would be very easy for a lot of men who to just kind of run, take this leadership thing out of control and not to lead their families in a way that's wise. So if a woman is married to a man that does not have any accountability, he just is not open enough with any other guy that can speak wisdom into his life. Mm-hmm. How does she gently encourage him in the direction of having some relationship in his life to which he can be remain accountable? Mm-hmm. She wants that for him, telling him he needs to be accountable. I ain't going to do it. So how does she encourage? Would you tell a woman who's watching and they were trying to figure out how do I encourage my man to get some accountability?
I think this sounds like the Sunday school answer, but I don't think you can ever underestimate the power of prayer. Okay. And the reason I say that is because I had a friend, one of my best friends, actually, his family growing up, the dad would be considered completely unaccountable. Had no one in his life to tell him, this is the wrong road, you shouldn't go this way. And she told me that every morning she placed her hand on his back before he woke up and prayed for him every morning. And things didn't change for a couple of years. In fact, I think most of my childhood, nothing changed until one day he heard a message at church and he gave his life to Jesus. And I'm the guy, he is a changed man. And I can attribute, I think, a lot of that change to those quiet mornings where she placed her hand on his back and prayed for him.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we can ever underestimate the power of God changing us.
Yeah, so not talking to him, talking to God.
Us, me trying to change somebody.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I think, I'll just talk about me, myself. I went through a long season in my life where I was not leading my family, and my wife was leading my family. We had a lot of gentle conversations, a lot of gentle conversations. Those gentle conversations didn't do a thing. And so what ended up, she could have blown up and gotten mad, but you know what worked for us is, you know, our therapist told us this. You know, there is this garden in your life that the man is supposed to tend to. And what my wife was doing was tending to the garden because I wasn't tending. So submission for her looked like taking that rake, taking that shovel, and stepping back out of the garden and just leaning those tools up against me. Just leaning them up against me. And I know this is super metaphorically speaking,
yeah.
But for me, what I realized was all of a sudden when my wife stopped tending to that, I kind of looked around and I was like, man, things are getting real messy around here. Well, it's because she stopped. And when she stopped, I realized, well, maybe I got to roll my sleeves up. Maybe I've got to grab the shovel. Maybe I got to go start cleaning the
yard. So do you think that the reason why a lot of men aren't leading is because women aren't making room for them to lead?
Absolutely. They're doing it all. They're doing it all. And so, you know, the man is playing Xbox till 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're talking to little third graders on this little, you know,
now
PlayStation
this is going
to
be hard for us, you know, women, isn't it, to just step back and lean the tools up against
yeah,
the garden and hope that they go get the tools.
I know.
That's
going to
be hard.
It's not hoping. It's conversations. It took a lot of work, you know.
Yeah.
I think for me, once I started working in the garden, I was like, I'm actually pretty good at this,
yeah.
You know. And then that submission started to happen for us. And it's taken years. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear that it takes years. But it's amazing what I've seen happen just in my own life,
yeah.
of slowly watching my wife give me some of those tools and allow me to mm-hmm. start leading the family.
Okay.
So
that was good. Thank you very much.
What will happen when we have churches that really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? What will happen when we have teenagers and children who really let the word of Christ dwell in them richly? We think marriages are going to be healthy. We think churches are going to be transformed, that communities are going to be impacted as Christians start to obey the text in their context, in their setting.
You think about the Bible. The Bible is the revelation of God. In fact, John says that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we are to know God, then we must know him through the Bible. Explore the Bible will help us to do that.
So the heart behind Explore the Bible really is Colossians 3:15-16. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts. Verse 16 is let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. So we want to say, hey, churches, church leaders, pastors, do you want a congregation? Do you want a small group? Do you want a Sunday school class filled with people that speak to one another in wisdom, that encourage each other, that admonish one another, that are filled with gratitude in their hearts to God, that they sing and they celebrate the salvation that God's given them? Do you want a group of people like that? Then you have to let the word of Christ dwell among them richly.
The exploration of the Bible, book by book, for groups of all ages, from senior adults to young adults to students to kids of all ages. If everyone is studying the same book, imagine the possibility of revival based upon the study together in community as a group, studying the text in its context. Imagine the possibility of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
whenever we're squeezed, whenever people in our groups or in our churches are squeezed, whatever's in them is going to come out. If the word of Christ is deeply in them, then that's what's going to come. They're going to speak to one another with wisdom. They're going to sing songs to God. They're going to be filled with gratitude. What's in you is going to come out of you. And so we want to do everything we can to help churches and help small groups and Sunday school classes get the word of Christ deeply, richly in the people.
When you are so outnumbered, so unable to complete that impossible task, so in over your head that you couldn't see the light of day even if you tried, you are exactly where God wants you. This is a God who loves weakness. He loves weakness because His strength is perfected in weakness. Are you choosing to stand firmly on the promises of God's word or on the faulty, shaky philosophies of our culture? Because the way we stand now has every bearing on the way this thing is going to end up. I want to spend a little time talking about the S word, sex. Okay, so that word came up in the first part of the very first part of our conversation. I mean, I didn't even have to ask a question about that. One of y'all just mentioned it right off the bat.
We were talking about it already.
We were already talking about it. Could you please tell women, remember, this whole show is about what women need to know about you, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask a huge general statement and you just take it wherever you'd like to take it, all right? What do women need to know about the importance of sex in your life? Because we don't get it. So we need to know why it's so important to you. And what we need to do about it. Go ahead. We're ready.
It's fun.
Feels great.
Yeah. And that's fun.
And come on, there has to be more of that, though. There are a lot of wives, I don't think, who really get what it does for the man. It's more than just fun, I know, but there is a boost to your ego. There is emotional satisfaction. There are other things that it does for your life that I don't think women are aware of. We just think it's all about the physical.
Here's one of the things.
I think it's more than that.
One of the things is women are pretty complex. They could be pretty complex. I mean, you got to navigate. The wrong tone? What happened? I don't know. Like, it's all of these things we got to navigate. So at the end of the day, if we actually had sex, we did something right throughout that day.
That's what it means to you?
Like, something happened. Like, it's a small little victory. It's like, yo, look what happened. I did it. So it's like the chase was on all day, and now the victory
do
is
you,
there.
But do y'all really feel like that? Do you feel like the chase is kind of on all day?
That's one of them. There's probably 75 answers, but that's one of them, so you got that much closer.
But do you feel that way? Do you really feel like kind of... Are you thinking about that kind of all day, like the chase is on all day and the goal is to get to this encounter later on today?
We do it in the morning, so like it's...
Okay, I'm saying at whatever point it's going to happen, is it a goal for you?
Yeah. Yo, because if you do it in the morning... We're then you can set the tools back up against the fence.
Right. I got to get to that.
I feel like we're so off task right now.
I love it.
Come on. We're going to sit here until y'all give us a good answer for this. Because women are wondering why there is such a disconnect between our innate initial interest and desire for sexuality, by and large, is not the same as yours. Because it means something more to you. It does something more for you than it does for females in general. Yeah. We're trying to figure out, this is one of the main questions I got, trying to figure out what is the deal with why sex is so critical, like it's at the top of your list. Communication for us.
I bet some of it, and let's be real, fellas, some of it, remember in the locker room, as boy, you'd be in the locker room with your fellas, you're just playing football, whatever sport, and you would talk about or brag about, like it was a conquering thing, kind of. Not that I haven't had a lot of women, but all the dudes would always talk about, yo, she was fine, yo, she all on me, she loved me, and all. And we built up a mindset of it's a little victory. Yeah, it's a victory. And now you have your wife, you know, unless you don't. Now you get to get little bitty, you get to get victories once. So it's like, I feel like it's like a little.
So is it a bit of a challenge thing and you feel this sense of accomplishment?
It needs to be
as well?
A challenge. Because if it's not.
I mean, okay, yeah. I think there's accomplishment. But I also think we live in such a sexualized society,
yeah.
Right? That it's become, it's so touchy. I mean, it is so touchy. You can't drive down Highway 65 without seeing billboards, you know, up, you looking this way and that way. You can't get on Facebook without seeing things. And so, you know, I know that women feel like, wow, like I can't live up to that. And so what I am feeling the pressure to do is to make my wife feel more beautiful than the images she's seeing me see. And so, man, suddenly it starts getting real complicated mm-hmm. really fast, mm-hmm. you know? And so, you know, for me, and my wife tells me this all the time, you know, sex for us starts way before sex, you know? And so when we can
for
start...
For men or for women, it starts
I think
way
for
before.
Me, too. You know, I think for me, too. I texted my wife this morning, I love you, !! Now, sorry to say this, honey, but the purpose... Well, I'm kind of a little bit horny today.
Dude, okay? You just woke up.
I just said that. Listen. So I'm going to say this, right? So I'm thinking, I want to get to Heather tonight. Hold on. No. I want to get to Heather tonight. I'm going to tell her. I just got done working out. It was 6 a.m. I just got done lifting weights. I'm feeling, you know.
Manly.
So, right. I text her, I love you, !! I said, it's going to be a wonderful day. And she texted me 30 minutes later, I love you too, !! Without an exclamation point.
Okay.
Now, you wouldn't think that made a big deal. But I remember feeling completely devastated. Like, well, I'm not having sex today. I did something wrong. She didn't give me 3 exclamation points. Now, does this not sound like a female thing?
He's an emotional guy.
Emotional guy, right? But I want to let you guys know that a lot of women put men in this generalized category.
Didn't you just have sex that morning?
Oh, not this morning. It was too early.
Oh, I'm confused.
A lot of women put men. See, and here's the danger.
In this category, that you don't have that emotional.
I'm hearing you saying it. I'm hearing you asking this question about men. You want to have sex. You want to conquer. That's not the case for old men.
Okay.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of women that are married to men like me that are emotional, that need 3 exclamation points after a text and not a period in order for me to feel like I'm on my way.
Yeah,
you know? You know?
Yeah, well.
There we go.
You don't need
this guy. This guy.
No exclamation points needed.
Nope.
I think there's an obvious exclamation point that happens. I mean, when it's all said and done, there's an exclamation point there. I think what's really important is that for me, and I'll say this, and me and my wife have talked about this, is it's not always the act of sex. It's really the availability as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you would have been cool had you not had sex, but if you would have got the exclamation point.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
I think women assume that intimacy, that connection is not critical to you. That you are able to, in fact, when we did the women's panel where we kind of did this vice versa, one of the women said, you know, it's possible for us to have an argument. And an hour later, he's okay having sex. And I'm still
20 minutes.
Oh, sure.
Right after.
You still
okay.
mad?
We don't get that. We feel like there has to be an emotional connection in order for you, or we feel like you guys don't need that emotional connection. Is that not accurate?
Anger is an emotion.
It just seems subjective. It just depends on who you're dealing with.
Okay,
to me,
Michael Boggs, you are so quiet back there. I'm dying to know what it is.
Here's what I told him. You're not talking about sex. You're not talking about sex.
No, I think it's, you know, for me, I'm probably similar to Carlos in the sense of
worship leader.
That
all
it's,
of them
it's
the musicians.
All of them musicians. I'm writing a song about it, you know, right now. I think for me, it's there's a little bit of that chase, you know, throughout the day, and intimacy is expressed different ways, and sex is one of those, but it's not necessarily always for me that it takes that expression mm-hmm. to communicate intimacy, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sex does that, and it's enjoyable, and it's great. It's just not the only way.
Mm. Can I ask you some single dudes thing?
Yes, I would love
that,
Anthony.
Go with what you were saying.
And then I'll ask a question. Go ahead.
That's what I think. This is the importance of sex to a single Christian male.
Good.
Okay? That kind of sounds fishy. Right. We'll be right back. Is that... As a Christian male...
That you want some.
No. But... You have to. is that I consider the way we were raised, I consider it to be something sacred and something that I want to experience with my wife. And if I am with a girl who does not consider it to be that, that it's a deal breaker to me if she pushes that envelope. If she knows how sacred it is to me, knows how guys are wired, and tries to spark the wire. Mm-hmm. Thinking that, I mean, and that's just how it goes sometimes with Christian girls. They're like, I can get him. If I can get that, I can get him. And that's where it gets messed up. So if I'm a Christian male trying to keep that part of my life sacred and set apart, and that is very important to me. Mm-hmm. And if I'm with a girl who doesn't consider it to be that important, then.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it do? Thank you for that, Anthony.
Yeah, anyway.
What does it do to a man's psyche, his ability to be faithful in his marriage? What does it do to him when the sexual relationship between he and his wife is just waning? It's just non-existent, or there's no passion there. It doesn't happen regularly. What kind of position does that put you in? I'm asking this question because my husband has said to me before, that's a dangerous spot for him to be in.
Absolutely. It causes him to be extremely creative. So now his mind is like, yo, what the deal? When I get home, ain't nothing cracking. Should I just finish singing? All these ladies around with them? Shoot. Uh-huh. I mean, for real. So then he starts doing the math on, it's not going down at the crib. Okay, Lord, but I'm going to stay strong. Wait, what's your name? It's a lot. Yeah. It's a struck. So the creativity starts to jump up and the devil starts to talk. Mm. And it gets easier to hear what he's talking about. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know for us, you know, I travel for a living. I speak and I lead worship. And most of my trips are 2 or 3 days. And this is where, whether or not we're fighting or not, we make sure we have sex before I go on that trip. Because honestly, your eyes are just open to a lot more things when you haven't.
Absolutely.
And so it's just true. A regular sex life, I think, is important. You know, I can be emotional and I can be, you know, I want exclamation points and periods and all that stuff. But at the same time, I know if I don't get it before I go on a trip, then you know, there's probably going to be a lot more that I see that I don't need to see.
Right.
Even on the way back, here's the money, ladies. If your man travels and on the way back, you're absolutely going to take care of him. That stuff helps out so much because now you're like, I'm about to be home. And one day I ain't tripping. Or whatever the case, it's just so much easier to, you know, and 72 praying.
Hours. 72 hours. Tell us the 72-hour rule, Terry.
I like that.
Don't you know it? I'm just wondering.
I mean, I'm just saying he told me the 72-hour rule.
No. You remember great Bible teacher? Remember Miss
Bunny Wilson? K. Arthur said this. What did you say?
Absolutely.
Refresh my memory.
It was.
I want you to hear it. I want you to say it. I want you to say it. Go ahead.
It was, I don't remember all the details, but it was something like every 72 hours.
Do it.
Like, pretty much. Yeah. It shouldn't go longer than 72 hours. And there was a biological reasoning in a male's body why it's very hard to go beyond 72 hours.
I'll write that down real quick.
Well, I kind of got it. So,
okay, got it. You got it. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else that you guys think would be important for a woman to know about satisfying, pleasing, fulfilling a man? How can a woman who's watching make sure her man is fulfilled? Each one of you should have an answer for that. What makes you feel most fulfilled? Emotionally, physically, otherwise, whatever. What makes you feel most fulfilled? Michael, we just have to start with you.
You know, I think it, for Keely and I, when she believes in me more than I believe in myself, I think for me that is fulfillment that is like nothing else.
That's great. Anthony, what can a woman do to make you feel fulfilled?
I think that's the artist answer. That really is the. Yeah. I mean, that's a great answer, but that's how. That's it. That's it.
Okay, Michael.
I think for my wife, always does this thing where I'll take some risk. I mean, it'll be some big, and it doesn't make any sense. But I clearly know. I clearly feel like God is saying this, and He hasn't necessarily spoken to her about it. But I know, and then she says. And the math doesn't make sense at all. There's no way this makes sense on paper. And my wife says, okay, if this is what you want to do, I'm completely behind you. And when she does that, and then the thing works out, oh, snap. Or even before it works out, I'm like, that is my queen. My goodness, she is awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
I think for me is knowing that I'm trusted and knowing that I'm known. There's just that innate desire for my ethos, everything that is me, to be known. And so when I know my wife knows me and she's desiring to know me and she is asking questions about my day and about my trip and about my, you know, hey, honey, I just wrote this song. You may not even have to like it. Don't even tell me you like it. Just listen mm-hmm, to it. Mm-hmm. You know, those small things for me are, I think, what really connects me.
That's good. Yeah. Babe, what can I do to make you happy?
Well, you do make me happy.
I'm so glad.
But it is one of the things. Right. One of the things is, and I think if anybody heard you speak before, they know that, you know, you always tell people how your personality is, you know, you see something kind of like Michael Jean, you know, hey, let's go do it.
Spontaneous.
I'm one, I think about it, I need to process it, which is not your personality. So for you to wait on me to make this decision, even though it's driving you crazy, and I know it's driving you crazy, but still for you to be quiet and allow me to process it. I mean, you know.
Be quiet.
Yeah. It is, you know, that.
Give you time and space.
Yes, that is, you know, that is big for me because I know that you are now, you know, outside of, you know, your normal character.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm trusting him to make the right decision on this and go through it, even though I'm ready to move now.
Yeah. So. You guys have given us great advice. Will you guys please help me thank them? We are so glad that every single one of you have come. And listen, I want you to know that every single one of these guys have incredible books, CDs, ministries, businesses. These are incredibly articulate, accomplished guys. And each and every one of them has some way that you need to connect with them, get to know more about them. And they have offerings for you that can be a blessing into your life. And so right below this web show, you're going to see links to all of their websites so you can connect with them, follow them on Twitter, get involved in what they're doing. It's some good stuff. And so we are so grateful for all that you've poured into these two shows. This has been really good. Thanks for helping us to get in on the minds of men. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.